And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. It's not hard for me to say it. I'll just go ahead and say it. We're way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right. Yeah, I was just staring at my bracket.
Of course you are, because you're just so excited about it. I don't. And I was wrong.
Because it may be gone by this afternoon. Do what? Yeah,
Auburn, that was my fault. No, I didn't refresh my computer.
I was so corn-fused. I did not. I was thinking Auburn played 2 days in a row.
No.
Okay. Yeah, they beat Iowa last night. You're right. But my other pick in that first round already played and won, and that's Houston. So now Auburn plays number one seed. Houston in the second round. When were they doing that? This week? Tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. So anyway, check it out. Tell us how you're doing. We can see some of the stats. We can see the bracket. Who are our other tops right now, Boom?
Right now, Brandy K, Dan, lots of numbers, Al, let's see here, Rockets Red.
Kelster.
Mm-hmm. Kelster. So there's the tops right now.
And right down below is our very own Birdman.
Yeah, there's Birdman.
Birdman's in there.
He's in there.
Yeah, Birdman is he's in what, ninth place?
Yeah.
I just got a text over here. Leanne from Huntsville, she shares 51st. So there you go. You're in the running. You are not in last place. Don't sweat it, Leanne. Hans from Biloxi, he just texted in. Hans from Biloxi is following up on the situation about the Mobile thing, and he says then you can claim to be the show in the covered statewide. Well, what do you know about that, Hans? What do you know about that? You know, just saying. Rita from Scottsboro, she says back in the day I dated Jesse Ventura's brother-in-law. What? I dated Jesse Ventura's brother-in-law. I'd walk in the house, and Jesse would literally put me on the ceiling with one hand, and I'll never forget his sweet little wife would say, Jesse, put the girl down. And there was an instant, yes, dear, and I'd be back on my feet again. I was scared to death I'd get put on the ceiling, and Mrs. V wouldn't be there to help. Anyway, that's awesome. You know who Jesse Ventura is? Yeah. Now, Jesse Ventura kind of got out there, got a little weird in recent years, like there's a story that he was insulting Navy SEALs who died overseas and stuff. And Chris Kyle, the American sniper, there was a story that he actually punched Jesse Ventura out in a bar. But Jesse Ventura was the governor, former like WWF guy, then starred in he starred in Predators. You've seen Predators with Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yes.
I mean, you got to. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that carried the minigun around. And I love he's got this big wad of tobacco in his mouth, and one of the guys looks at him and goes, hey, dude, you're bleeding. He goes, I ain't got time to bleed. He goes, oh, well, you got time to duck? That's a classic. By the way, it's a classic man movie line. Just say it.
It is a good one.
It is a good one. All right, let's jump into the Triple Dipper. Coming up top of the hour, Stephanie Smith will be calling in from the Alabama Policy Institute to talk through what we've got going on here in Montgomery, which is a massive spend. Now, I will say this. The money had to be spent by law. So I recognize that, and I acknowledge that they had to spend it. I do not necessarily mind that the governor called a special session to get it spent. What I do mind, and what I'm going to take up at 3:30 with State Senator Garland Gudger, I want to get his thoughts on this, what I do mind is exactly what Representative Ernie Yarbrough said on my show the other day, is that this was a hurry-up. There was no real allowance for debate. People weren't even allowed to see the billion-dollar allocations, the appropriations bill. The bill was drawn by the executive branch, but yet, at the same time, the legislature has the power of the purse. And there are three members of the state Senate who I greatly respect who actually voted no against it. And when you consider that there's 35 members of the Senate, that means that just short of 10% said no. It's still only three. But April Weaver, Senator Arthur Orr, Senator April Weaver, and Senator Sam Gavan of Huntsville all voted no. And I can imagine why. And then there were three members of the House. Of course, there's 105 members of the House. But I'm hearing that basically dissent was just run over. that there was, I'm hearing that there was a deal with the governor to get it done. Get it done. That's not the way you spend $1 billion. You don't just get it done. And the governor's staff drew up the bill, and the legislature didn't even get to see it until late in the game. And then in the minimal amount of time required to pass legislation, it got passed. I got issues with that. I do. I've been down there before when things are being called on to hurry up, and I've been down there before when we slowed some things down. And I've been down there before where you felt like, okay, I guess I'm going to vote on this because I am. But by God, we're going to debate it for a while first. Well, that didn't happen. And they'll say, well, it went through the entire committee process. Oh, come on. When you ram something through committee and it's already known you've got the votes and no one was allowed to add any amendments, and if you did add an amendment, you were called on the carpet. And by the way, I'm hearing some of them got called on the carpet for dissent, which ticks me off. But nonetheless, yesterday, the Alabama State Senate passed the $1 billion ARPA spending bill, and they sent it back down to the House, which quickly concurred without a single dissent, and it went to the governor, and she has already signed it. That's $1 billion, y'all. Now, like I said, don't think of this as you know, money they printed. What the money came from the federal government who printed it, obviously, but nonetheless, it came down to the state, and by law, it had to be spent. It had to be appropriated by a certain date. You couldn't let it sit there. You couldn't put it in a true trust fund, whatever. And it was supposed to be designed to help offset the detriments of the pandemic. I don't know that it did that. I question whether the spending bill as designed by the governor's staff really did that. So here's what we got. Let me see which one of these bills I want to, one of these articles I want to pull up first. And by the way, one of the new things we've done that Boomer has also done is if you want to see the articles that I, you know, rattle the paper and read, I encourage you to go to our website, rightsideradio.org. Go to rightsideradio.org. There's the tab that says live stream. Go to the live stream tab, and you can either watch the video of the show, you can click on the audio only and listen to the audio, or you can also scroll down on that same page. There's a resources button. Every article, every triple dipper is put on there. It's listed by the dipper, and then it has all the articles linked. So if you want to go grab one of them and go, what was he talking about? I want to read that article. Go get it. So yeah, this one, let's do this one. 1819 News, dated yesterday. Oh, dated today. Dated today. Ivy signs the ARPA and ATF debt repayment bills into law. Alabama can now look to a greater future, or to a future of greater promise, says the governor. All right, Governor Kay Ivey signed two bills. I'll tell you about the other one in a minute. One of which was to appropriate roughly $1 billion in American Rescue Plan Act funds. That's those COVID relief dollars. So here's the way it broke down, roughly. $660 million of the $1 billion is going to go to water, sewer, and broadband spending. Water, sewer, and broadband. I'm not sure how that translates into pandemic relief. Do you? I don't know. Maybe COVID caused a sewer to break down. Is that possible, Boomer? I don't know if you have your... Do you have your civil engineering degree? I don't think... I'm not sure that I do.
I'm not too familiar with that stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure, but maybe it's possible that COVID broke the sewers.
Oh.
Is that true?
Well, people too were... Too much toilet paper?
There was a lot of toilet paper issues going on during COVID.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Maybe we figured it out. Nonetheless, $660 million is going to water, sewer, and broadband spending. Broadband is a state level project. I don't know when we're ever going to see somebody turned on to the broadband, but water and sewer? No. Water and sewer are local projects. Water and sewer getting $660 million means what they're doing is they're going to go try to help locals fix their water and sewer who are not otherwise able to fix and or maintain their water and sewer, some of which, by the way, has been grossly mismanaged over the years, and now we're going to fix it with state dollars. $100 million to hospitals and nursing homes. Okay. I got to check. I don't have the actual text of the bill in front of me. I'm looking at a news article. $100 million to hospitals and nursing homes may, in fact, be pandemic related. I don't know how, because I'm sure they were still allowed to be reimbursed for their expenses, but maybe they've got a ton of stuff out there that they incurred because of it that was not reimbursable, and we got to help fix it. I don't know. But aren't those private sector entities? So if we were forcing a government expenditure on them that they were not otherwise able to take care of, I get it. But all we're doing is writing a check. And the other thing that I've got to look at in the bill, and I don't have it in front of me, is I was told yesterday that the Hospital Association, which is basically their lobbying group, is also getting money. Why would that be? And I hope that's not true. Because the Hospital Association does not need state dollars. Because if we're doing that, it's a whole new day. Why don't we give some to the teachers union while we're at it? Why don't we give some to, I don't know, the Farmers Federation? Heck, who else can we give some money to? All good causes. I mean, they're good causes. I got a great relationship with the Farmers Federation, but I don't think we ought to put them in the budget. $55 million was earmarked for programs or services in response to the negative impacts of the public health emergency, such as food banks, domestic violence victim assistance, and summer education. Huh. Okay, some of that, yeah, I get it. But you know what this did? Here's the thing. What this did was it allowed for the governor to have carte blanche authority to write the checks for these grants. In other words, the governor's office is going to be the one saying, come on in, y'all. Let's talk. You want some money? I like you. Now, I don't like you over there, but I like you, and I'm going to give you some money. It's just awful. And then $40 million went to reimbursements to the Public Education Employees Health Insurance Board and the State Employees Health Insurance Board to do things to upfund their state employees' health insurance. Okay. Senator Orr, Arthur Orr, who's been on the show many times, many of y'all know him. Arthur Orr, one of the leaders in the state Senate from Decatur, he said that he voted against it because it did not fully fund the Public Education Employees Health Insurance Plan, PHIP, which is an expense directly related to COVID. And he said that's the reason why the feds passed this original federal law. So basically what he was saying was you fluffed up the bill enough to where some of what we're paying for didn't need to be paid for. I'm putting words in his mouth, but he's saying you didn't fund some of the things that needed to be paid for. All right, so this was just it was a huge, and it ran through, y'all, and I got an issue with this. I tell you what, let's do this. I'm going to catch my breath during the break. Maybe go check my bracket again. Oh, Lord. We'll do that. We'll come right back, talk through a little more of the big spin, and then top of the hour, Stephanie Smith will be on, one of our frequent flyers here on Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Solid conservative, just plain right. All right, so, hey, on the spending. So down in Montgomery, I mean, you know, yesterday, if you heard my analogy, that money flew through the legislature like scoot through a goose is what I said yesterday. In fact, I might write my op-ed on that this coming week. But yeah, scoot through a goose, man. It flew through. There was one other bill, and I will say this. When I see something I don't like, I'll tell you. When I see something I like, I'll tell you that too. Here's one thing I do like. So there were two bills, actually. There was the big ARPA spending bill. That's the one that sucked all the air out of the room. That's the one that got all the attention. But there was another bill. So back when I was in the legislature, I got voted in 2010, stayed through 2018. When I first got in, like 11 years ago, we had no money. We didn't have these surpluses, and we were literally making up for 136 years of Democrat leadership mismanagement. Budgets had been in proration. Things were awful, and we were coming off the 2008 financial crisis. And so we had to actually borrow from Alabama's trust fund. We borrowed $437 million. We did that in one of the first years I was there. And then I think it was the next year we came back and amended that to put a clause in there that required us to repay it. And so the other bill that happened this week, and I applaud this, was the final payment on the repayment. So basically we borrowed, it's almost like borrowing against your retirement, and then you have to pay it back or pay a penalty for it. That was this. And so we borrowed $437 million 11 years ago, and yesterday they made the final payment to put that entirely back into the trust fund. A lot of people don't realize Alabama has an extremely large trust fund. We're one of the most solvent states in the nation, believe it or not. We are, which is maddening because we got lots of money, but they're not doing any tax relief. But that to say, we have a deal that was worked out by a man who I consider to be a friend and a mentor who's passed away now, former Congressman Jim Martin. He arranged for Alabama's territorial waters off the Gulf Coast to have oil and gas leases that pay the state royalties. And those royalties go into our trust fund. And we have billions of dollars in our trust fund. And most states don't have that. So when you see oil rigs off the coast in Gulf of Mexico, recognize that that applies to your state trust fund. Here's the other piece of that, though. When you see Joe Biden shutting down oil and gas leases and gas exploration, what that's doing is shutting down money that comes to the trust fund. I think, I want to say last year, the year before Biden took office, my recollection is the state of Alabama saw $53 million in oil and gas revenue exploration royalties paid into our trust fund. $53 million. Now, you know, in a multi-billion dollar budget, that's a drop in the hat, but that accrues over time. You got some money in the bank, right? And then Joe Biden comes in and shuts it down. So there you are. You're watching existing revenue streams being shut down, not just in terms of you and I paying more at the pump and other things that do impact us individually, but our state is seeing a legitimate impact, negative impact to the state coffers. And that's just more, it's just more Bidenism. I'm telling you, it's unreal. Just how long do we have to 2024, Boomer?
I mean,
how much longer is it?
Like, hurry up.
I mean, love. Is that next year? That is next year. Praise God. Okay. All right. What else I got here? One more thing, though, that I got to tell you before we go to the break. And we'll probably talk about this with Stephanie Smith, too. The other thing that happened on the big spend, I look at this and I'm thinking, what in God's name? So, you know, Alabama's trying to build new prisons. And we have to. We do. We have to have a new prison infrastructure. And I hate the idea of spending this much money, but we're under court orders. We got other mandates, and there's going to be prisoners no matter what. We have to put them somewhere. So the Alabama Corrections Institution Finance Authority, chaired by Governor Ivey and State Finance Director Poole and a few state lawmakers, passed a resolution just about, well, actually doubling the cost of the prison. We watched a bunch of our tax dollars. Tax dollars, but ARPA relief dollars and COVID relief dollars go to prison expansion a year or so ago. And all of a sudden, with the Elmore County prison already under construction, somehow or another, the cost estimates have just doubled. Lawmakers approved a total of $1.3 billion in funding to build the two prisons when they passed the plan in 2021. The one in Elmore County had an initial guaranteed maximum price. You heard those words? Initial guaranteed maximum price of $623 million. They just approved extending that cap to almost double. Finance Director Bill Poole says, the early estimates were based on a very preliminary design. What? So we're under construction with a preliminary design? I've never heard of this. He said the design is still not 100% complete. And he said efforts to make the prison comply with court orders have been a factor and yada, yada. He also says we should know the full contract price at some point this summer. Wow. Does that mean it's going to get bigger? So they just almost doubled the cost of the prison. The big spend, y'all. The big spend, like scoot through a goose. Y'all stay tuned. Stephanie Smith's calling in. We'll be right back.